Good morning and welcome to Simply Space. It's Friday, May 10th. On today's show, India's growing space sector pushes for more tax incentives. Sidus Space collaborates with NASA on a Lunar Terrain Vehicle Services contract. Plus, NASA prepares for NOAA's Advanced Weather Satellite launch from Kennedy Space Center on June 25th. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with some exciting news from India's space sector, which has been making significant strides in global space research. Investment has grown 77% in fiscal year 2021-22, according to a recent report, with the Indian space economy now valued at around $8.4 billion. Here to discuss the latest developments is our space correspondent. So tell us, what changes are happening in India's space sector to attract more global investment?
The Indian government has made some key policy changes to open up the space sector to foreign investment. In April, they amended the Foreign Direct Investment, or FDI, rules. Now, 100% FDI is allowed for manufacturing satellite components and systems. Up to 74% FDI is permitted for satellite manufacturing and operations, as well as satellite data products. And launch vehicle companies can get up to 49% foreign investment without government approval, or more with approval. These are major steps to bring in overseas capital and expertise to help grow India's space industry.
Those do sound like significant changes to attract global players. Are there any other incentives being offered to space companies?
Yes. In July, the government extended the goods and services tax exemption on satellite launch services to private companies, not just government entities. This helps level the playing field. The industry is also pushing for more tax benefits, such as a production-linked incentive scheme to boost domestic manufacturing of space equipment. They want the GST exemption expanded to cover satellites, launch vehicles, ground systems, and their inputs. A lower withholding tax rate on foreign loans is also being sought, given how capital-intensive the space business is. Allowing satellite operators to claim accelerated depreciation on licensing fees is another item on the industry's wish list for the next budget.
It certainly seems like the government is trying to create a more attractive environment for space sector investment, both domestic and foreign. How much of an impact could these reforms have?
Analysts expect the liberalization of foreign investment rules to lead to an immediate uptick in overseas participation in India's space economy. It should make for a more dynamic and competitive industry landscape. The tax incentives, if implemented, would help Indian companies be more cost-effective and globally competitive. The space sector has been opening up ever since the government allowed private players in 2020. With these latest steps to court global investment in technology, India looks poised to grab a bigger share of the over $400 billion worldwide space market in the coming years.
Thanks for that overview of India's evolving space sector policies. It will be interesting to see how much foreign investment the industry attracts and what new players might emerge. Speaking of new developments in the space industry, Sidus Space, a space and data-as-a-service satellite company based in Cape Canaveral, Florida, has announced its collaboration with NASA on the Lunar Terrain Vehicle Services contract. The contract was awarded to the Intuitive Machines-led Moon Reusable Autonomous Crewed Exploration Rover Team, of which Sidus Space is a teammate. For more on this exciting development, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about this collaboration and its significance for lunar exploration?
This contract marks the first phase in developing a crewed rover for human exploration of the moon's surface. The Lunar Terrain Vehicle Services project aims to create a roadmap for deploying a lunar terrain vehicle on the moon using Intuitive Machines' Nova D cargo class lunar lander. Sidus Space will be working alongside industry leaders like AVL, Boeing, Michelin, and Northrop Grumman to design an advanced lunar vehicle architecture. This includes developing power management, autonomous driving, communications, and navigation systems specifically for the unique challenges of lunar exploration.
It sounds like Sidus Space will be playing a key role in this project. What specific capabilities will they be bringing to the table?
Cetus Space operates a 35,000-square-foot manufacturing, assembly, integration, and testing facility in Cape Canaveral that is focused on vertically integrated space-as-a-service solutions. They have decades of experience in high-fidelity manufacturing for the space industry. CEO Carol Craig stated that this collaboration allows Cetus to showcase their heritage and assist in paving the future for lunar exploration and activity. The company's mission is bringing space down to Earth by enabling spaceflight heritage status for new technologies while delivering data and predictive analytics.
How does this lunar vehicle project fit into NASA's broader goals for moon exploration, particularly the Artemis program?
The development of a crewed lunar rover is a critical component of NASA's Artemis program, which aims to return humans to the moon and establish a sustainable presence on and around the lunar surface. Rovers will greatly expand the range and capabilities of astronauts during lunar missions, allowing them to conduct more extensive scientific investigations and test technologies that could eventually be used on Mars. By collaborating with commercial partners like Intuitive Machines and Cetus Space, NASA is leveraging private sector innovation to accelerate its lunar exploration plans in a cost-effective manner.
It will be fascinating to follow the progress of this lunar vehicle project in the coming years as NASA works towards the goal of returning humans to the moon. The collaboration between NASA, Intuitive Machines, Cetus Space, and other partners could be a model for future public-private partnerships in space exploration. Speaking of NASA's upcoming missions, the agency is also gearing up for the launch of NOAA's Advanced Weather Satellite, GOES-U, from Kennedy Space Center on June 25th. This mission aims to enhance weather observation and environmental monitoring capabilities here on Earth, as well as improve space weather forecasting. For more details, we turn to our space correspondent. So what can you tell us about the upcoming launch and the capabilities of this new satellite?
GOES-U is set to launch on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket during a two-hour window opening at 5:16 p.m. Eastern Time on June 25th. As the fourth and final satellite in the GOES-R series, it will carry a suite of seven instruments for advanced Earth imaging, atmospheric measurements, real-time lightning mapping, and monitoring of solar activity and space weather. One notable addition is a new compact coronagraph that will image the sun's outer atmosphere to detect and characterize coronal mass ejections, which can impact Earth's magnetic field and cause geomagnetic storms.
And how will GOES-U work in conjunction with the existing GOES satellites to improve weather forecasting and environmental monitoring?
Once launched and checked out, GOES-U will be redesignated as GOES-19 and work in tandem with GOES-18. Together, they will provide continuous observation of Earth from the west coast of Africa to New Zealand. This comprehensive coverage will supply vital data for weather forecasting, severe storm tracking, and environmental monitoring. The GOES constellation plays a crucial role in protecting the 1 billion people living and working in the Americas by enhancing our ability to monitor and forecast weather, ocean, and environmental dynamics in real time.
Can you tell us a bit about the collaboration between NASA and NOAA on this mission and others like it?
NASA and NOAA have a long-standing partnership in developing and launching Earth observation satellites. NASA's Launch Services Program, based at Kennedy Space Center, is managing the launch service for the GOES-U mission, while NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center oversees the acquisition of the spacecraft and instruments. NOAA, on the other hand, will operate the satellite once it's in orbit. This collaboration extends to various other missions that aim to enhance our understanding of Earth, its climate, and its environment, ultimately contributing to the safety and well-being of people worldwide.
And finally, can you give us some details on the companies involved in building and testing the GOES-U satellite and its instruments?
Lockheed Martin is responsible for designing, building, and testing the GOES-R series satellites, while L3Harris Technologies provides the primary instrument, the Advanced Baseline Imager. L3Harris also supplies the ground system, which includes the antenna system for data reception. These companies, along with NASA and NOAA, form a strong partnership in developing and deploying advanced weather satellites that provide critical data for forecasting and environmental monitoring.
Thanks for those insights into the upcoming GOES-U launch and its importance in improving our weather forecasting and environmental monitoring capabilities. We'll be sure to keep an eye out for the launch on June 25th. In other space news, the U.S. Space Force has selected a space imaging payload developed by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory for an upcoming mission to test military capabilities in rapidly deploying satellites. The mission, known as Victus Haze, is set to launch in 2025 and will involve two spacecraft performing maneuvers in close proximity. For more on this story, we turn to our correspondent. So, what can you tell us about the payload being provided by Lawrence Livermore for this mission?
The payload is a monolithic telescope, which means it's built from a single piece of fused silica. This eliminates the need for alignment and calibration after manufacture, while still providing the best possible resolution. It's a technology that has been developed and patented by employees at Lawrence Livermore. In fact, a version of this payload was used in a previous Space Force mission launched in 2021.
And how will this payload be adapted for the Victus Haze mission specifically?
For Victus Haze, the lab will be designing a different version of the monolith payload that has flown in previous missions. However, all of the major components have flight heritage. The lab currently has a monolith telescope operational on the GeoStar 2 mission that was launched in partnership with Terran Orbital in 2021. That payload has two space telescopes that together have taken thousands of pictures for space domain awareness, astronomy, and Earth observations.
It sounds like this monolithic telescope technology has been put to use in a number of different missions. Are there any other notable examples?
Yes, a gimbaled monolith payload called Stellar Occultation Hypertemporal Imaging Payload was deployed on the International Space Station and put into storage in late April 2024 after a year of operations. And another monolith payload will be part of a NASA Small Satellite Technology Program mission awaiting launch on the SpaceX Transporter 11 rideshare, planned for July. That mission is called Pathfinder Test Demonstrator R and is built on a Terran orbital bus.
Going back to Victus Haze, this is being described as a tactically responsive mission. What does that mean exactly?
Tactically responsive missions require contractors to be ready to launch on short notice. In the case of Victus Haze, the Space Force expects the satellites to be operational within hours after launch. This rapid deployment capability is seen as key to being able to respond to potential threats in orbit.
And what will the two spacecraft involved in the mission be doing?
The two spacecraft, one from Rocket Lab and another from True Anomaly, will be performing maneuvers in close proximity. The Livermore payload will be integrated into Rocket Lab's vehicle. The exact nature of the maneuvers hasn't been specified, but the mission is intended to demonstrate and test the military's capabilities in this kind of rapid, responsive satellite deployment.
It will certainly be interesting to see how this technology is put to the test in the Victus Haze mission. Thanks for that insight into the U.S. Space Force's plans for rapid satellite deployment. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.